Thank you for the valley I walked through today. The darker the valley, the more I learned to pray. I found you with the lilies blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valley I walked through today. Thank you for every hill I climbed, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed telling you everything was all right. And I thank you for the valley I walked through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessing, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank you for the valley I walked through today. Thank you for every hill I climbed, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed telling you everything was all right. And I thank you for the valley I walked through today. Yes, I thank you for the valley I walked through today.
You know, that's if you're pessimistic, you probably noticed all the valleys and the tears and all that kind of stuff. But if you're optimistic, you'll have noticed everything that that resulted in those valleys. And we need to be thankful for those valleys because they bring us closer to the Lord. It's wonderful. Amen. Thanks for that song. I love that song. I love hearing you sing that song. All right. James 5. All right. So we're on our... I kind of put it up like this because we're celebrating. This is our final message on the book of James. And Miss Vicky, you need to applaud me because this, I believe this is actually the first series I've actually finished. Yeah, it's been a year and a half. I've been faithful to it. We never quit. So Miss Vicky's been with me for 11 years, and she'll tell you, I'll start on a series, and I might even get close to being done with it, but all of a sudden, I just kind of stop. And part of that is because the Lord will order me to preach something else, and then I start getting on to that, and then I stay on that for a while, and then I just kind of let the other one die. But James has been a very important book to me in my life. It just has helped me in so many different ways. It's just it's been a powerful help to me, and I trust that it's been a help to you for the time that we've studied it. And today, I think the ending of it is a lot more spectacular than you might be able to gather based on the verses that we're about to read. But if you don't have your Bible, you can look at James chapter 5 up on the screen. All right, so I'm going to ask Harrison to get the verse up there. And you can follow along up here, all right? And we're just going to read from verse 19 to 20. If you do have your Bible, you can follow along from there. That's fine, too. But either way, we're going to get a dose of the Word of God here. And by the way, I encourage you. I like the way Brother John Kinsey says it. I don't know how many of you have heard John Kinsey preach. He's come and preached at our church. He said, forgetting your Bible is like forgetting your rod and reel. I'm not much of a fisherman, and so I don't really, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to me, but I like the way he is a major fisherman. He loves fishing. And so, you know, when he says that, you know, it's important that you bring your Bible. It's important that you bring your Bible. And I do like to make sure that if you don't have your Bible, that there is, that the Word is still up in front of you. But I do encourage you to read from the Word. There's nothing like actually reading the book. I don't know what the deal is, but God is, he's given us his Word. He ordered it to be pinned down on paper. And, you know, just for some reason, I like to read books, and I'll read them in every way possible. I'll read them on the internet. I'll read them on my Kindle. But when it comes to reading the Bible, there is nothing like actually reading it from a page. I don't know what the deal is. I'm not trying to say that it's a sin to read it from your phone or anything like that. But with the book, it's undistracted. There's nothing that's going to get in your way. And so I encourage you to make sure that you have your rod and reel, all right? And catch some fish, all right, while you're at it. So James chapter 5, all right? So we're gonna look there, the very last portion of this whole epistle, all right? We're going to start with verse 19. It says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Boy, I'll tell you, what a powerful ending to this. The whole theme through this entire study has been from survival to revival. And I've asked the question many times, how many of you have ever felt like you were just surviving, you know? And I've had, you know, we've all held our hands up, all right? We just feel like we're surviving. We feel like we're just getting by from day to day. But that's how all the churches that James was sending his letters out to, that's how they were feeling. They were feeling like they were just surviving. They were frustrated. There were arguments going on in the church. There were things that were happening in the church that were getting their focus off of God. They were arguing with one another. Their families were struggling, and there were just all sorts of different things that were going on in the midst of all these churches. Anything you can think of, anything that you can think of that this church has been through, probably they went through the very same thing. And anything that we haven't been through, there are probably things that James experienced in that area as well. Anything that this church hasn't been through, that is. But it's written to churches, all right? When he says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, he's talking about the Jews that have been scattered because of persecution. All through this, it's all about drawing near to the Lord, drawing near to God. When it comes to drawing near, there's a path involved in that. And I want you to notice what the passage says again. It says, if any of you do err from the truth, all right? And when it says err, all right, it's actually referring to a straying, going astray. If anybody strays from the truth, diverts from the truth, goes in a certain direction that he thinks is the right way, all right? And one convert him, all right? When it says convert him, what that means is if anybody causes him to return, all right? If anybody causes him to, now, you know, we look at this verse at face value, and we think that he's talking about some guy who was a sinner that needed to be saved, but he's still talking about the church, all right? It says specifically, if any of you, he's talking to the churches, if any of you do err, if any of you turn away from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways. Let him know. Let the guy that helped that person turn back. Let that guy know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways, he'll save a soul from death. And not only that, but he'll hide a multitude of sins, things that could have happened later on. All right, he's going to save his soul from death. Now that's interesting right there. There's all different passages that I see, that I can think of, that involve this. But in particular, I've decided that the Lord may be leading us to study a little bit out of Matthew. And so I'm already kind of looking in that direction. And so I have a passage up here. Harrison, if you could bring that up, please. And Matthew, all right, it talks about the straight and narrow, all right, in Matthew chapter 7. And it says this in Matthew 7 and verse 13 to 14. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." All right, go ahead, Harrison. The first thing I want you to notice here is the order that this is in, all right? I know that many of us have heard this, and this is in reference to those who are lost, but at the same time, this passage is in reference to those who are saved as well. I want to kind of give you a perspective on erring from the truth and help you to understand where you are. It's important that we have a balance in our understanding of the Christian walk, and it will help you to pass from survival to revival. This is one last final hurrah to encourage you to step from survival to revival, all right? So the first one here, we see gate, and then we see way. And then we see the next section down here, we see it again. Gate and narrow is the way. Now, notice that it's in that order. The Bible always has a reason for everything, and I try not to be too analytical about things. I used to do that, and I try to be a little bit more practical than I used to be, but in particular, I do want to focus because this passage, first of all, we see a gate, and then second of all, we see a way, and it happens twice in that particular order. It does not say way first. It says gate first. And so there's an emphasis there. I'm a personal fan. I like to read stuff by Watchman Nee. And Watchman Nee, I have to give him some credit when it comes to this particular verse. He's an encouragement to me. He wrote a book called The Normal Christian Life. But in this particular passage here, it's from a book called The Balanced Christian Life. And it's a great book. I encourage you to read it. It's by Watchman Nee. If you want to know how to spell that, I'll spell it for you later. Watchman is just like Watchman, all right? And the Nee is N-E-E. Real simple, all right? And so that's his name. And he wrote the book, The Balanced Christian Life. And I thought it was a great book. I would encourage you to read it. But in particular, he emphasizes in this verse, in that book, this particular passage right here. All right, and so we see, first of all, that there's a gate. When it comes to opening a gate, there is a crisis involved. There's a push. There's a decision, all right? We're entering into a new location. That has to come first. In order for you to experience revival from survival, you've got to be saved. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can experience His life. The Bible says that much more, being reconciled by His death, we shall be saved by His life. His life helps us each and every moment of our day. He helps us with each and every step, but it's important that we understand that we've entered somewhere first, that we began a new life. We entered at a gate. I think it's interesting, don't you, that the big popular street in New York City is called Broadway. It's full of lights and all sorts of things. Anything that you can think of, anything you could possibly want, is on Broadway. Broadway is where it's happening. If you ever want to get experienced in sin, if you want to get involved, if you want to experiment with wickedness in this world, if you want to try things you've never tried before, things that mommy and daddy have never let you try, go to Broadway. That's where it's at. All of it is there. You know, I think it's interesting that they call it Broadway. I wonder why they called it Broadway. You know, why didn't they call it something else? You know, I'll tell you, some of these big, huge moneymakers, they are very anti-God. I have to wonder sometimes about, Steve Jobs, I have to wonder why he put an apple on the back of his devices that has a bite in it. You ever wondered about that? I've always wondered, you know. And I know that, once again, I'm you know, I told you I'm not going to get analytical here, but I do have to say, we are in a world of wickedness. That's the answer. You know, we could get into all these crazy ideas. I could show you how that on the back of your $1 bill, if you draw in a certain geometrical shape, all right, either the Star of David or even an upside down pentagram, following the line of the pyramid on the back of your dollar bill, each of those points will reach a letter inside of what it says in the back. Inuit Coeptus, all right, those words, it spells Mason. I thought that was kind of interesting, all right? All of that stuff, you know, you can get into really deep things about that, study about how that the Illuminati has taken over the country and all this, but I'm going to tell you this, all right? The bottom line of it all is that Satan is the god of this world, and we are going to see it everywhere we look. People say, did you realize that the Taco Bell commercial, I don't know if you've seen it recently, they made the bell look like an eye, you know, and, you know, they were making fun of people who are being analytical about the Illuminati, all right, and, you know, they're kind of making a joke about it. And you know what, sometimes people do get a little bit overboard. The easy explanation for it all is that we're living in a world that's run by Satan, and his government is going to be following him. It's important that we understand that. I personally believe that a lot of these men in masonry, I think that they believe that Satan was right, that if we took the fruit that we'd be as gods, and that God did indeed deprive us of something that Satan was trying to give us, and so they're trying to figure out how, with all of this alchemy and all these little magic tricks that they're practicing behind closed doors, how they can actually become like gods, the way Satan already said. It's interesting because if you go right into the Capitol building, right in the center of it, you'll see a lady, and her name is Freedom, right in the middle of our capital, our country's capital, our nation's capital. Freedom. And then there's a serpent right next to her, and his name is Wisdom. It's interesting, they almost give it respect. They almost respect the serpent. They almost respect Eve for wanting to be free. And at the same time, he said that when Wilson was the one who asked him about the statue, and he said, the serpent represents wisdom of the knowledge of good and evil. He said it just like that. I couldn't help but think, you know, when he said that, all of my studies on masonry and everything, it all narrowed down to this one idea, that these people are trying to help Satan become the ruler once again. Satan's on his way to do it. He's trying to do it, but of course he's going to lose. We know what the end of the book says. All right, we know the ending. Satan's convinced he's going to get the upper hand eventually, but that's what all that's about. And so we have a straying away. We have Christians who are trying to go a different route. The Bible says that we need to enter in the narrow way, but it's the gate first, not just the way. You need to find out that you're in the gate. Are you in the gate? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever realized one day that you were a sinner, that the reason for all of your pain, the reason for all of your problems is because you were born in sin? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Have you ever considered that your misery might just be because of sin? And as a result, there is a gift that Jesus Christ, that God gave, and it was his son, Jesus Christ. He gave him on Calvary. He gave us this precious gift free of charge. We didn't have to pay anything for it. All we had to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we'd be saved. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you ever gone to him and said, Lord, I am a sinner and I am on my way to hell, but I thank you that you died for me and I'm trusting you right now to be my Lord and Savior? Was there a day when you were born again? Was there a day when you trusted Jesus? If there was a day like that, then you've entered into the gate. But then it goes on. It says, the gate and narrow is the way. It doesn't stop at the gate. A lot of Christians stop at the gate. There's a lot of people like the Catholic Church, many of them, Roman Catholics. They go about trying to go the way without having entered into the gate. They try to walk in the Spirit. They try to walk by giving alms. They try to walk by praying for people and counting the rosary and all of these other things. They try to go the way, but they haven't entered the gate. And then you have Christians who have entered the gate, but they haven't gone any further than that. And it's important that we keep going in the direction of the way. Jesus Christ, of course. You know, I want to show you a verse, all right, in Proverbs, all right? Yeah, there we go. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of people who think, well, maybe I'll try this. Maybe if I go and I visit a priest and I ask him to, and I confess all of my sins to that priest, it may be that I'll go to heaven. There's a way which seemeth right. It seems right, really. If you haven't ever studied your Bible, it seems right to go to a priest. If I've never studied the Bible and I heard that that if I follow all of the laws in the Quran, that maybe, just maybe, Allah might have mercy on me. That's what it says, by the way. Now, he can change his mind whenever he wants to. That's also what the Quran says. The Quran says that if he decides to lie, if he decides when I get to where Allah is, and he says, hey, guess what? I changed my mind. He can do that if he wants to. That's what their book says. I thank God that my God is not Allah. There's a lot of people who say that Allah and my God are the same. They are not. The Word of God says that it is impossible for God to lie. Their book says that he can lie. It is a different God. I have a God who cannot lie, and he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he wasn't lying about it. He says, take care of your home, take care of your family, take care of your children, take care of your wife, and make sure that you do it by following Jesus Christ and making him number one, and you'll be okay. And he wasn't lying about it. I do not worship a God who is a liar. He's my God, and he's known through his son, Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. But there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Have you noticed that it says way, and then it says seemeth right, but it's false? So we could say way, false, and then we see death. That is exactly opposite of the next verse, Harrison. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way that is true, that leads to life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you in Christ? Then you're in the gate. Are you in the gate? Have you entered the gate? Have you gone in? Guess what? If you are in the gate, if you have been born again, there's no going out of the gate. It's simply realizing by faith, I'm in Christ. Hudson Taylor said, I keep seeming to, he had all these problems when he was out on the mission field. He said, I feel like I'm falling out of Christ. I keep going in and out of Christ. I can't seem to figure out how to stay in Christ. And all of a sudden, Hudson Taylor realized, I've never been out of Jesus Christ ever. All those times that I thought I was out of Christ, I was in Christ. It's just that my faith wasn't trusting in the fact that I was in him. When you're a branch of the true vine, you're always a branch. You don't go to Ace Hardware or Ace Home Place, wherever, where you can buy trees. You don't go up to them and say, hey, I'd like a few branches for my vine. What do you think they'd say? They'd be like, somebody get security. This guy's off his rocker, all right? No. You're not going to do that. You're going to say, I'd like to buy a tree, which includes the vine and the branches. They're not separate, never will be separate. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're always in him. Where you fail, where you stumble, is where you begin to doubt that you're in Christ. But the fact is you're in Christ. You need to realize that. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, if you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you're in a new realm. You're in a new realm. To help you kind of understand that a little bit, all right? You know, when you go into a new, how many of you remember the first time you ever walked into this building? okay? Most of us do. I'll be honest with you, I've had so much happen. The only thing I remember is what it looked like. I remember there was a cross that had a light behind it, you know. I remember I saw all those things. This place looked very different than it does now. Do you know why? Because I'm very familiar with it now. Now, it has changed drastically. There's a lot of things that are very different about this church. But if you've ever been to a place that never changes, all right, that's never changed, that's never been renovated, have you noticed that things do tend to look different the longer you're there? When you go back and you think about the first time you walked in, it's very different. The reason why is because you were unfamiliar with it. When you have entered into Jesus Christ, it's time to go exploring. It's time to go and discover new promises. It's time to go and discover the valleys. And that's why I thank him for the valleys. Because when I go through a valley, I get to explore the palace that I'm in. Just to kind of give you an idea, we're going to take a little virtual palace tour. This came from some game, I guess. Go ahead, Harrison. But we're going to enter the gate. This is outside the gate. Once you enter the gate, you're about to see something you've never seen before. At least I don't think you have. And so you're taking a look around and you're familiarizing yourselves with all the pictures and all the decorations and everything. And as you familiarize yourself, you're discovering new things in Christ. That's what it means when it says in Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You see that? What that means is this, all right? Think about it. How did you receive Jesus? Did you give your tithe in order to receive Jesus? No, how did you receive him? You asked him. So, Wilson, if you asked him, that must mean that you believed him, didn't you? Okay, did you hear that? If you believed that he saves you, he will. Right? We put our faith in him. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That very same way, when you said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I'm doomed for hell, but I am trusting in the gospel that you are going to take me to heaven. I believe that you died for me. Come into my life and save me. Save me from destruction. You believed that he would when you asked him to. It's not about a prayer. It's about believing that he would do what you're asking him to do. And so the very same way, once you're in Christ, you say, Lord Jesus, just like I trusted you to save me from the destruction of sin, I'm also trusting you to deliver me from the power of sin every moment. And it doesn't stop with that one prayer. It goes step by step. Walking is reiterated. Lord, I'm trusting you to give me the victory over this. I'm trusting you to give me the victory over this situation. I'm trusting you to help me to pay attention in church. I'm trusting you to help me love my wife. I'm trusting you to help me teach my children. I'm trusting you to help me win a soul. I'm trusting you to help me to have the words to say to this person who needs me to say something to them to encourage them. That's walking in the Spirit. And you know what? You're already in him. You're in the gate. And now you've got to go the way. Sadly, there's a lot of Christians who don't understand this. And brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's look at another verse. In Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Christ. Let's look at another one. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ. Are you in him today? Did you trust in him as your Savior? Was there a day when you called on him to save you? Was there a day that you realized that all the misery, all the woe, all the pain, all the suffering is a result of sin? Did you realize that there was a day when you were on your way to hell, that broad way that you've been walking? And did you call on him? If you did, you're in Christ. And if you're in him, everything you have is available to you. The Bible does not say he will bless you. What does it say? It said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you know what that means? That means we're in heavenly places in Christ. That's all it means. Now, how do you interpret that theologically, brother? Well, all I can say is that I'm in heavenly places in Christ. And the Bible says in several other places that I am in heavenly places in him. The Bible says my citizenship is in heaven. When it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see that word conversation in the book of Philippians, it actually means our citizenship. Now, how do I become a citizen of America? What's the best way to become a citizen? Be born. Well, boy, that sounds familiar. Nicodemus came up to Jesus and he goes, we know that you're a teacher, that you've come from God apparently, because nobody can do the miracles that you've done. And Jesus says, you need to be born again. He changed the subject completely. I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall listening to that. Just to hear Nicodemus saying, we know that you're some kind of a teacher. Can you explain yourself? You need to be born again. That must have been amazing. And you know, he goes, well, how? Nicodemus, how? How do I be born again? He goes, I'm not talking about being born of the flesh. I'm talking about being born in the Spirit. When you got saved, nothing changed about you. You know, if you got saved as an older person, you still had the same wrinkles. All right? If you got saved as a younger person, you still kept the very same struggles that you have against mom and dad. All right? We still have this old, wicked, rotten flesh to deal with. I heard somebody preaching one time and he said, praise God, I've got new blood flowing through my veins. No, I'm sorry, he doesn't. He will eventually. He'll have a new body eventually, but he doesn't have new blood yet. We still have the old blood from Adam, that sin nature that's still within us. But praise God, we're in Christ. We can have the victory every moment of every day. Every time we struggle with something difficult, every time we're struggling with hatred, or we're struggling with depression, or we're struggling with anxiety or fear or anger, we can call on him and say, I am in Christ and I have everything I need. Help me, Lord. And he will. He will. He keeps his promises. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We can be like Jesus Christ in his power because of the Holy Spirit, because of what he's given us. Are you in Jesus Christ? If you're in Jesus Christ, then he's in you. The Bible says that too. Well, how do you explain that? The best way I can explain it is through tree grafting. You take a little sprig from one tree and you graft it into another tree. You put that sprig in the tree and that tree sap goes into the sprig. That's the best way I can explain it. When you're in the tree, in the vine of Jesus Christ, his power flows through your branch. That's the best way to describe it. So we have these wonderful promises here. Now, how in the world do we bring somebody back? All right, I'm just going to make this, I'm going to be brief about this, all right? The first thing that we do is we resort, all right? So go ahead, Harrison. We resort, first of all. What does that mean when it comes to... All right, now remember that it said in James chapter 5, it says, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. How in the world do we turn somebody from the error of their way? We resort. Who do we resort to? The Lord. I think of several people that are not in this church right now that need to be, that have gone astray, that have wandered. I think of people who once attended this church and left this church, and you know what? They're with the Lord right now. And I can promise you this, if they could do it over again, they would have stayed in church. I can think of people right now that are still alive that need to be in this church. resort to God about them. Lord, this person doesn't realize that all that he has everything or she has everything she needs in Jesus Christ. I remember the day she trusted him. I remember watching her get baptized. I remember watching him begin to read the word and study it and to grow. And there was no doubt that he was saved. But now he's gotten away from you. And Lord, I'm praying that you'd bring him back, draw him back. You know why God will do that? Because he's merciful. He's merciful. There's a passage in the Psalms that says his mercy endureth forever. And it says it, I would say, probably about 25 times in that passage. I'm not sure exactly how many times. I don't know if any of you Bible scholars know how many times it says it in that passage. But it's a lot. Carlos, do you know? Sometimes you know this kind of stuff. But it's like about 25 times. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. And it keeps on going. Look, I'm going to tell you something. You call on a Lord. Remember this, that he loves that person that's away from this church. He wants them back just as much as you do, just like that prodigal son's father. He's looking out the window waiting for him to show up. You say, Lord, bring him back. Woo him back. Woo her back. Bring her back to us. Don't have the attitude of, boy, I sure am glad they're gone. What a horrible, wicked attitude is that? We need to pray that they come back. We need to love them back. We don't need to be saying, oh, that person was such a wicked, rotten sinner. There's no wonder they're outside of church. Oh, that's not what the Word of God says. We need to resort to God. Number two, all right, let's look at the next thing. Redirect. We need to redirect them. Hey, give them a card. Write something on Facebook. There's a person that I can think of right now. I'm sure that many of you are thinking of the very same person. We see things on Facebook and we're thinking to ourselves, why won't that person just turn back? Don't they realize that the only people who are really loving them is New Grace Baptist Church? Oh, let's redirect those people. Let's love them. Let's send them a card. Say, hey, we miss you. Send them some bread. Send them something that says, hey, we love you and we miss you and we want you to come back. And by the way, it's okay. We've already forgiven you. We love you. We miss you. There's people who sometimes they have this idea, if I come back, they're all going to look down on me. They're going to disdain me. Look, send them something. Let them know how much you miss them. Say, hey, I want you back. Let them know you love them. Redirect them. You know, I can't help but think of my brother's code that when he's flying and this recognize. Go ahead, Harrison. All right, RCR. All right, RCR. Go ahead, click it again. Recognize, confirm, recover. Recognize that you're going the wrong way. If you're an airplane, if you're an Air Force pilot, all right, the code is this. Recognize that you're flying upside down in the middle of a storm. Because if you don't recognize that, you're going to crash. And then confirm it. That means look at the instruments. What instrument do we have to confirm whether we're upside down or right side up? The Bible. Show them. Pastor was preaching about this and it made me upset. What do you think about what he said? Sometimes that happens. Instead of going, oh, I know, Pastor, he's hard on people, isn't he? And start gossiping about the preacher. No, don't do that. Say, find out scripturally, all right? If you don't have an answer, go to the preacher and say, hey, preacher, why did you say that? Nail me to the wall. It could be that I was wrong about something. But if it's scriptural, you can show them, hey, check your instruments. You were flying upside down. That's why he didn't want you to crash. That's all. And then recover. That's the third thing. Hey, look, are you going the right direction? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You know what? I'm preaching to the choir here. But the first thing is, if you're not going to church and if you're not in the Word on a regular basis, you're upside down. Stay in the Bible, stay in the church, stay with the family of God. That'll help you. All right, so redirect. And then number three here, all right? Number three, remit. That's forgive. Forgive them. Forgive them. All right? Remit. And then restore. This is my favorite, and I'm just about finished, all right? Don't zip up your Bibles just yet, all right? Restore. All right, now, I want to look at a verse in Galatians.
in Galatians 6 and verse 1, it says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted."
Instead of saying that person, no wonder he left the church. He's like, you know what? By the grace of God, you're not like him. Restore. Do you know what restore means? Go ahead and click it, Harrison. Restore means to reset a bone that's broken. That's what it means. When you break your arm, I've broken my arm. Would you believe it? I've broken my arm 3 times. I've broken my ankle 1 time. Broken my nose 1 time. I have broken so many bones. It's amazing that my 4 boys have not broken a bone yet. There's some times they should have. I guess it's because of mom and dad's prayers for them. I don't know. But I have broken my bones many times. You know, I could never figure out how my bones got better because they put a cast on the outside. I thought, don't they got to go inside and put something around the bone? The fact is, the bone heals itself. You put the cast on, what you have to do in order to make sure that bone is going to heal no matter what. So if your arm looks mangled and everything because of a broken bone, guess what? It's going to heal that way unless you do something. Because by nature, our bone is going to fix. It's called bone glue. Everything in our whole body, sounds like the body of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Everything in our whole body begins to work together and starts generating this stuff called bone glue, and it all goes up to this broken bone, and it begins to repair the bone, and it becomes so solid that it's almost impossible for that area to break again. Interesting, huh? You know, the Bible says that we're the part of the body of Christ. We need to restore the broken bones in this body. We need to find those people that are broken away from us and restore them. We need to be a body that generates this bone glue and says, "Hey, come back! We love you! We want you to come back! You've gone astray, but we love you! We want to help you! We want to encourage you!" You know, what I find most interesting about this whole thing, this is the final passage that I want us to turn to. John 19. Go ahead, Harrison. You can put it up here if you don't have your Bibles. In fact, I encourage you to look at the screen. John chapter 19 and verse 31. It says this. "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." You know, I used to wonder, what was the big deal about his bones not being broken? I realized that the scripture said it and that it had to be fulfilled. I realized that. But why did the scripture say a bone of his shall not be broken? But as I was studying Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, I realized something. If you're in the body of Christ, a bone shall not be broken. Not one person who's gone into the family of God is ever going to be broken away. Once you're in the family, once you're in the body, you're always in the body. You're always going to be a part of Jesus Christ. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And that's why. Because we will see them in heaven one day. And we'll be able to cover a multitude of sins at the judgment seat of Christ. Imagine the people who have left this church, whose bone was broken. They've been severed from this church. If we don't restore them, One day they're going to stand before the judgment seat and they're going to have to give an account for the wicked life they continued after they left this church. How important it is that we go and help that person who has erred. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. They won't have to answer for it in the future. You can spare them from a future of heartache, from a future of sin, from a future where the judgment seat, Jesus will say, "Why didn't you serve me?" And it may be that because of you, the person who got restored will stand before the judgment seat and hear the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because there was a church that restored that one who got broken away. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time we can be together. Pray that you would help us. I think of many who have not been here that need to be here. And I know that there are those here who feel the same way. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to consider our ways. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It may be that there are some of you who have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior. You've never been born again. There was never a time where you trusted the Lord as your Savior. All right? Now look, don't just look up at me because you feel like this is some kind of a ritual. Because if there was a day that you trusted Jesus, if you realized that you were a sinner, and you realized you were on your way to hell, and you called on him to save you, that has to happen only one time. The guilt you're feeling is because you haven't been walking in Christ the way that you should. But if you've never entered the gate, I want you to, if you could just, hold your hand up. You don't have to hold it up high. Now, there are some of us who have not been walking in the gate like we should, who haven't been walking in the palace like we should. Sit down. Say, "Brother Mike, I'd like it if you could pray for me because I need to walk more in Jesus Christ. Could I see your hands, please?" Amen. I see them all over the room, all over the room. I'll hold my hand up, too. We need to pray for one another. And then, how many of you would say, "I know of somebody who needs to come back"? You raise your hand, please. We all know. In whatever way, for whatever reason, either it's because you need the Lord or it's because you need to walk more with him or because there's somebody that you know that needs to come back and you need to do your part in restoring them, would you come to the altar? And let's let the bone glue start working. All right, I'm going to let my wife play. I'm just going to give you the invitation too. You don't have to. But I encourage you to come and seek Jesus. tell it to Jesus. We live so below our means, don't we? We have so much wealth spiritually. We never activate it. We never use it. Boy, we need to use it. We need to walk in Him more. Just for a moment, you know, you don't have to know who anybody is, but we're just going to, just for just a moment, we're just going to pray briefly, and I'm going to encourage you to lift up any names that might have come to mind, and let's go to God, let's resort to Him right now and just pray, Lord, be with, and then just name a name. You can give the first name. Most of us will probably know who it is. This is not a gossip session. This is our family seeking to restore people that we've loved and known that have strayed from us, that are not a part of us because they've wandered, and we need to restore them. So at this time, I'm going to give you the opportunity to just mention a name. If you just want to mention the name, that's fine. Or if you want to just say a brief prayer for that person, I'm going to give you a moment to do that. Amen. Yes. Yes. Help Samantha know that we love her. Lord, we thank You again for this time that we have come together, and we do pray for Samantha. We pray that You would just, we pray that You would restore her back to us, Lord. We do thank You for Trell and Trinity. We know that there's a lot of struggle that goes on. We just pray that You would just help each of them and encourage them. We thank You for those who are here that we haven't seen in a while. It's wonderful that they've come. And Lord, we pray that You would just meet their needs and just give them the grace and the help that they need. And we just pray that each person here would realize their need to depend on You and realize that the ultimate answer is Jesus Christ, that everything that they need can be found in Him. And we just thank You for everything. We pray You bless us as we go our separate ways, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.